Have you ever watched an apocalyptic sci-fi movie and wondered, could any of this really happen? I'm Carrie Bechet, and on Hypothetical, we explore what-if questions two ways, through speculative science fiction and through insight from the world's most brilliant scientists. And spoiler alert, your favorite sci-fi movies aren't nearly as far-fetched as you may think. Time travel with me into our possible futures on Hypothetical. New episodes every Tuesday, available on all podcast apps. That's Hypothetical, Hyperthetical.
The Toddcast Podcast. Find us on iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, and at toddhancock.ca.
Hey, Cheryl, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Yeah, I'm pretty good. Thank you for taking some time here to join us on the West Coast. You're the West Coast as well, I just noticed.
Where are you?
Well, I'm in Vancouver.
Oh, right, Vancouver.
So I'm just up the coast. Where did I read? You're San Francisco, San Diego?
L.A.
L.A. Oh, that's right. Maybe piecing that together, like, oh, okay, near that. Right, yeah. On. How long have you been in L.A. for?
35 years now.
So you're a lifer. Yeah, same for me in Vancouver. Yeah, been on the West Coast. Love it here. Yeah. Well, so thank you for taking the time. And I'm looking through, you know, your bio and kind of just, you know, doing some research and stuff for our chat. And like, where to begin with you? Do you not like downtime? Do you not like having, you know, like, because I'm just like, you know, when you wrote the book, when we talk about the book, you're an author, geologist.
Environmental lawyer.
Environmental law and spiritual practitioner. So what eats the most of your time like right now? What do you think you eat, like, do the most of those four?
Well, it's more of a series of events than concurrent. I started out as a geologist and then went to becoming an environmental lawyer. And now I mostly write and speak and doing a little comedy.
Come on.
Yeah, I just came from a joke lab class.
Oh my God. So you're just full on, like, it. And so tell us about writing your book, Love Earth Now.
Well, it started out as therapy, frankly, you know, because I'm a big fan of Earth, and I have come at it from, obviously, from a lot of different perspectives, from geology to the environmental law, and nothing really quite satisfied my desire to figure out what we should be doing to take care of this planet that we don't seem to be doing a very good job of, and how to go about that. And so I started really journaling and telling my own stories to myself, and then sharing with a few people. And so my book is really a collection of my own stories trying to figure this out.
And what is it you feel like? I'm sure there's no broad stroke where you could just say it's like these two, three things that people need to do. But like, what is it that we're not doing that we should be doing, do you think?
Well, the two, three things, that's what irritates me the most, is when people try to distill it down into a top 10 list. Here's the things everyone should be doing. If we all just changed our light bulbs, everything would be fine. And I just don't think it's that simple. And I think it misses the mark, in the sense that I believe we all come here with our own gifts and abilities, and also our own marching orders and what we're here to do. And telling people to change light bulbs really misses, you know, the opportunity for people to explore what is mine to do, what am I here to do, and it may have nothing to do with light bulbs.
I think that's, you know, if you think back to like the 70s and the 80s, like when I was a little kid and my mom and stuff, and you know, there was no recycling. Like, we just didn't recycle. So like, I think we're aware of what we should be doing, but maybe it's just falling on deaf ears. Do you think that's fair to say?
In part, I would say that's fair to say, but it's also really complicated. And so there's no perfect solutions, you know. Even driving an electric car, you know, they use a lot of rare earth minerals, and mining rare earth minerals is a messy, awful business, and it creates a lot of pollution itself. And plus, we have to create the electricity, and how is that done? And so there are no perfect answers. And so my goal is to be reflective and consider what I can do and feel really good about what I can do, and do that with all I've got. And then I've got to let everything else go, because I can't. I've tried solving the world's problems and I'm just not up to it.
No, fair enough. And so, like, as an outsider, and of course, I have like no scientific background whatsoever, but it seems to me that we're missing the power of the ocean to give power. Like, is there nothing that we can do in that regard? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, I feel like we're missing something from
I
Earth.
think we're missing the collective will to do something. I think that's what's missing
Yeah.
myself. I think there's all kinds of solutions, and there are very smart people who are working on all those kinds of solutions and exploring what we can do and what is happening. And I applaud them because I don't know that I could, because showing up to work every day and learning, the horrible truth about what we're losing or what we may be destroying, that would be really hard for me to do. So I applaud them, and I think that that's important to support them. But at the end of the day, it's for me is when are we going to decide to do something ourselves and pick up the mantle of what we can do in our own homes, in our own hearts, in our own families?
And so writing the book, Love Earth Now, how long did that take for you to be like, I don't know, lack of better word, satisfied with what you've, compiled and feel good about releasing it? Like, was it a
Well,
year
I
thing?
could
Was
have.
it like multiple years? Like,
It was interesting. It was 5 days, 5 years from the day that I first went into a writing workshop and said, "Oh, here's some things I want to write about," to the day that the book was published. But really, it was having a publisher come to me and say, "This is the day that you have to turn it in."
right.
That's the cutoff
Give me
point
a
for that.
deadline
I
and
would still be
suddenly,
writing that book. I need deadlines.
Sure, fair enough. I think most of us do. And so, like, have you always liked writing? Was it something you were into as a kid as well, or?
I've always been someone who could write. I wasn't really into it as a career as a kid so much. It was just something that, I could do. But I know some people who are born with, this need to write. I've got to express myself through writing, and I came to that a lot later.
Interesting. Interesting. And so what are you reading right now? Like, who are some of your favorite authors, favorite books, that sort of thing? Like, what genre do you like the most, do you think?
Well, I really like escapism when I read, because
Get away from it all.
I get away from it. But there's a book called Who Cares Wins, which I really like. I mean, I don't like books that try to sugarcoat things, but I also want to read something that gives me some sense of hope that there is something we can do, and tell me how p other people are doing it and give me some ideas about what I might be doing for myself. And that's a book that gives me that kind of sense.
Does that get
What
you
else?
fired up to write as well, or do you kind of just escape into that and not think of
That's not my
Cheryl
escapism.
the
My
writer
escapism,
while you're
yeah.
doing
That's my serious reading. I read and learn kind of material. My escapism is detective novels. I think it really satisfies my need to find solutions to something.
that?
You read a book, and that at the end, everything's all wrapped up, and the answers are all, the questions are all answered, and then
Yeah, and you're like, I knew that at page 30. I knew that at page 30.
that's
And are you a fan of autobiographies? I love reading about people's lives and the way
I
that
do
they
too. Yeah, I
tell
haven't read
stories
one
and
in a
stuff.
while, but I do enjoy that. Yeah.
Yeah, so I usually get authors to recommend some autobiographies to read.
I'm sorry, I don't have any.
No, nothing off the top of your head. You're like, oh, you need to read this one.
I can't remember the
Let
last time I read
me
it.
give you one. Let me give you. Are you a
Okay.
fan of the Rolling Stones?
Sure.
So read Life.
Okay.
Keith Richards' autobiography is
So crazy. We picked that up
wonderful.
at a yard sale a couple weeks ago.
You what?
We picked that book up at a yard sale a
Really?
couple of weeks ago.
Interesting. So dig into that, because
All right, I guess
that
that's meant to
book is
be.
such a great read. It is like one of my favorites all time, and I've read hundreds of autobiographies.
Okay, all right, we got it.
And
Sold out it.
how about geology? Like, when did you get into that? That's interesting.
It is interesting because I was not a play in the dirt kind of kid. But I went to college and I took some classes just to fill some gaps in my schedule with this kindly old professor who just sold me on his telling the stories of rocks, which sounds kind of crazy, but maybe he told the history and made it interesting. And it was kind of like a detective novel where you go out and see, and this was in the Midwest, and see layers of rock and what's the story behind it and what happened here. And that, I think that's what drew me in more than the science of it, was the storytelling of it. So then I went on to become work at a soils lab, basically, and I was, ironically, my mom couldn't believe that I was the, not the kid with the, in the dirt playing in the dirt, but the grown up playing in the dirt for work.
Yeah, that's great. And so are you drawn, do you feel like, to certain places on the planet? Like, do you urge and wish to go see the pyramids and, you know?
I'm happy just to go natural places anywhere I can. I like redwoods and I like ocean. I mean, I'm happy just finding the nature around me. I run a meetup actually for writers called the Natural Muse, getting people in Los Angeles out of their homes and cars and going out into nature to write and sit at picnic tables and sit on boulders and exploring. You'd be surprised how much nature there is in the city of Los Angeles if you look.
Yeah, I've been there many, many times. Do you think that COVID affected the way that people treat that, going outside now? And
I do think it had an effect on a lot of people that way because it was one safe space, and then you get there, and it's like, this is pretty nice. Why don't I do this more often?
And do you still practice environmental law?
No, I don't.
And so what did you do when you were practicing that? Like,
I worked for Texaco, believe it or not, but I was in environmental compliance, advising clients on how to stay in compliance with environmental regulations. So, you
interesting.
know,
Where did you grow up?
Kansas City, Missouri.
Okay. And what did you want to do as a kid?
I wanted to be a ballerina.
Okay, so you got there close. You got cl pretty close. The only reason I ask is because what you've done is so diverse. It's very,
Yeah.
you have an interesting life, that's for sure.
I call myself a career flipper. Some people flip houses, I flip careers.
And what was the music like for you, like in your house as a kid growing up? What are your parents playing?
My parents listened to some pretty cool music. They were really young when I was born, so they were still listening to rock and roll and a lot of Neil Diamond, I recall, and of course Al Hurt and the Tijuana Brass. That was big. Kenny Rogers and the First Edition. My first concert was with my parents going to see Sonny and Cher.
Okay, I was going to ask you a first
Oh,
concert. And what do you
really?
remember about that night
So,
or that day or whatever?
yeah. So music was a big part. I mean, I remember music being played in my house growing up. Of course, that was before there was TV 24/7 and podcasts and all the other media that
And
we had.
everybody with their face in their phones and
Right, and their earbuds, listen to their own music.
it's a really weird time, especially considering growing up the way that we did. I would imagine we're probably similar in age. And to not have anything, to suddenly having everything. And I don't know who had it better.
Yeah. Maybe somewhere in the middle would be nice, but we don't ever seem to get that.
Yeah. What do you, I want to back to your first concert. What do you remember specifically about that show with Sonny and Cher?
I just remember thinking her hair was really long. I was young. I don't remember how young I was, but I was really young.
Yeah.
And another, I actually, you know, maybe that wasn't the first. I remember going to the outdoor theater with my grandfather to see the guy who played Gomer Pyle. What was his name?
Oh, golly.
Yeah.
That
He was singing, and it was, that was my very, that was my first experience hearing a person sing live in person, and I just thought that he was the best singer in the planet. I went home and told my parents to buy all his records. Like, I
guy.
don't know if he has any.
That's great. And when you live in LA, and of course LA has like so many like iconic venues, do you see many shows? Like, what was the last show concert that you saw?
Well, I don't stay up late enough to see music in LA anymore.
True enough, right?
But actually, we have a good family friend, young man who's starting out with his own band called the Sound Scientists. And so that is the last concert I saw, the Sound Scientists at Molly Malone's, which is
The
at
sound
one of those
scientist.
iconic places.
I will be checking that out. What's the music like?
It's a jazz fusion kind of, yeah, really cool.
Oh,
Really
cool.
good stuff.
Yeah. What have you been binge watching lately? What do you find when you find time? Like, it's tough to find time sometimes.
We just completed watching the entire series Northern Exposure
Oh, yes.
back from back in the 90s,
Back in
right? I've
late
always,
80s, early 90s, it's Canadian show, yeah.
It was something that it was just so groundbreaking at the time because it was so bizarre.
Interesting. So how did you
And
hear
like,
about that? How did you know about that?
and well, I have been lamenting. It's one of the few that hadn't been released. And supposedly because they had music in it, they didn't have rights to. I don't know. But I had been commenting to somebody, and that's one of my favorite old times shows that I have never seen come out on streaming. And like 2 weeks later, I found it. It had been the whole thing had been released on streaming, so we had to
It's
watch
great. I remember watching it as a kid here growing up, right? And it's so funny. It's just
Cecilia
so relatable too, because when I grew up, I was living in a small town in BC,
Lass.
a place called Terrace. So,
Yeah.
Star Wars or Star Trek?
I am not a huge sci-fi person.
Not
My
sci-fi.
family's crazy about them, but so
Yeah.
I watch them.
You kind of got pushed into it watching it then, it sounds like. All right, I'll wrap it up. Thank you again for taking some time. Two more questions and we'll scoot here. This one's not necessarily a question, more of a, do you have a near-death story where you're like, holy shit, I could have just died there?
No.
Yeah, so you'd know right away.
In a sense, I mean, I was diagnosed with uterine cancer, and but
Well,
I
that's
went
the
through
start.
the surgery and the treatments, and fine, and I'm fine. And yes, that could have been it for me, and
Sure.
it's giving
That's
pause,
near death.
but it's
Yeah.
not a and what I think of, the life flashing before your eyes kind of moment.
Right. Well, certainly wasn't that. My mom had breast cancer when I was grade 10, grade 11, fought that one, thankfully. But that's scary times. I mean, that's certainly near death. But yeah, it's not like you're seeing your life fly by or
Yeah, the car flies off the
yeah, it's
road and
not quite that.
headed for the ocean, and
Yeah. All right. And the last thing I want to know about you, Cheryl, is a career highlight. Can you pick just one, or is there just too many to pick from, or
Yeah, that is a tough one. Thinking, thinking, thinking.
well, the book has to be up there. Like, that has to be, must feel great to get that out.
The book has to be is a highlight of my life. I don't know that my career, because it doesn't make money.
Well,
Book
yet.
publishing doesn't make money.
You're working on that, though.
Working on that. But I remember particular air district hearing in Las Vegas when I was still environmental compliance, but it's just I'm not sure that makes good podcast interest.
Yeah.
Go
Go with the book.
with the book.
Let's go with the book. And we'll make some money off the book too. Thank you again, Cheryl, for joining us. Where is the best place for people if they want to find out a little bit more about you or maybe engage and talk with you? Like, where are you most active on social media? Is it Instagram or Twitter or
Instagram,
Facebook?
Love Earth Now. That's a
Pardon
great
me?
place. Instagram at Love Earth Now.
Love, oh, of course, you're the book, Love Earth Now, yeah.
Yeah.
And is there a website for people to visit as well, or
Yes, you could go to loveearthnow.us
dot us?
or under my name. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Well, thanks again. We'll tag you when we're throwing this stuff around online, and it's great to meet you, and have a
Thanks
wonderful
so
rest
much.
of the day.
Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, and SoundCloud. Find us at Toddcast Podcast.
Hello, friends. This is Mark Nell, executive producer of the Table Read podcast, where imagination meets performance. As we wrap up an incredible season one, we want to take a moment to express our heartfelt gratitude to each and every one of you who tuned in and supported us on this amazing journey. Season one was nothing short of extraordinary. We delved into captivating scripts that transported us to worlds beyond our imagination, thanks to the brilliant writers who delivered these works. But what really brought these stories to life were the talents of our amazing actors. But wait, the excitement doesn't end there. As we bid farewell to season one, we are thrilled to announce the launch of season two. Get ready for more gripping narratives, more unforgettable characters, and more mesmerizing performances that will keep you on the edge of your seat. We have some big surprises coming. The Force will definitely be with you. So stay tuned, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay excited. From all of us at the Table Read Podcast, thank you. And let's make season two even more memorable together.